This is Jan Swift, and you're listening to Discover Lafayette, a podcast dedicated to the people and rich culture of Lafayette, the gateway to South Louisiana. We taped Discover Lafayette at Raider's headquarters in the Oil Center of Lafayette. Raider is a managed IT service provider that offers world-class service, including cybersecurity, communications, and technology support. With Raider, you have just one vendor and one number to call, allowing you to concentrate on what is most important, your business. For more information, visit RaiderSolutions.com. And while we're talking about Raider, many thanks to Jason Sikora of Raider, who records and mixes our sound, ensuring a professional podcast production. The generosity of Ochsner Lafayette General makes this podcast possible. Ochsner Lafayette General understands that each patient is unique, and so is your path to good health, from the miracle of childbirth to the mending of broken bones or the journey through cancer. Ochsner's physician and care teams provide access to more than 90 specialties and an ever-expanding list of convenient locations right here in Acadiana. With Ochsner Lafayette General, you're cared for through every stage of life, and healing isn't just a destination. It's a journey we walk together. For more information, visit ochsner.org/Lafayette. Today's podcast is also brought to you by Lafayette-based ViMed, a national leader in post-acute respiratory care and sleep therapy. If you're struggling to get a good night's sleep, you may have undiagnosed sleep apnea. ViMed, right here in Acadiana, can assist with in-home sleep testing, CPAP equipment, and a personal sleep coach. For existing CPAP users, ViMed can help you maintain a restful sleep schedule through supplies and maintenance tips. Visit ViMed.com/sleep. or call 866-852-8343 for more details. Our guest today is Chad Landreneau, creator and owner of the app Animal Finder, which is available on the Apple App Store and Google Play. Animal Finder connects buyers and sellers across the nation for any and every pet enthusiast. And I got this from your website, Chad. Whether you're looking for a catahoula, a calico, a cobra, or a cockatiel, you can search on the go as you travel. The app uses GPS technology and allows you to find the animal of your dreams. And Chad Landreneau is here with us, as I said. I understand that this is your dream come to life, and you're able to connect breeders, buyers, and sellers of livestock, such as cattle and horses, or even family pets. I want to thank you for joining us. You're based right here in Lafayette, and these are the kind of stories we like to share. Thank you for being here today.
Well, thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
Yes. So before we get started on your app, I'd like to know for our listeners more about you and your background so we understand who you are before we get into the business side.
All right. So my name's Chad Landreneau. I'm born and raised in Mamou, Louisiana, out in the country. I come from a third generation of farmers, rice, soybeans, and within the last, you know, couple of decades, crawfish added to that.
Oh, okay.
So today my family still farms, like I said, outside of the Mamou area in a small community called Doral. If you look on the map, it's called Fenris, but we call it Doral, Louisiana. So spent all of my younger years, high school years in Mamou, graduated in 1994. From Mamou High. And after that, I really wasn't sure what I was going to do, coming, you know, from the farming background. So I hung around the farm for maybe 2 years, decided to go to LSUE, right outside, you know, from the community in Eunice. I think I went to LSUE for maybe 2 years, 2.5 years. And then after that, I just thought I was going to farm with my dad. So I hung around the farm till I was 24 years old. And then at that point, that summer, I decided to go to McNeese.
What did you study?
Business and marketing. So I went to McNeese. While I was there, it was kind of like country come to town or country go to town, rather. Didn't really know how to do anything but farm. So I was like, well, man, I got to figure out a way how to pay the bills.
Yeah.
So while I was at McNeese, I got a job working at a horse farm. It was a Western Pleasure show farm, a paint farm. You know, knocked on the gate, got in, asked for a job. They're like, what do you know how to do? I'm like, well, I can clean and bush hog and cut grass. Mm-hmm. So that said, got a job, went to McNeese, finished. And after that, I moved to Dallas. So it was really, you know, country goes to town.
Big town.
Big town.
What was your dream going to Dallas? What did you want to do?
So to be 100%, you know, truthful about why did I go to Dallas, it was I felt graduating at, I think, 27 years old, I felt like I was way behind the mark mm-hmm. in starting a career. Like most people graduate college in their early 20s. I'm 27. So I felt like I was a couple of years behind and I needed to gain some momentum and catch up. And I knew if I went to a bigger city, I would get a bigger opportunity faster mm-hmm. and probably some bigger experience
right.
faster.
Right.
So I'll never forget, I picked up, I don't think I picked up a phone. I think I logged onto a computer and Googled staffing agencies, found one recruiting in a business mm-hmm. and called. And they're like, can you be here tomorrow for an interview for this office job?
Yeah, yeah.
So hung up, literally threw some clothes in a bag, drove to Dallas, mm-hmm. interviewed, and got the job.
Oh, that's awesome.
And that started my HR career.
Uh-huh. So I got to ask, my best friend, Karen, is in Dallas, and she's an HR person. I mean, she's been in the industry for 40 plus years, Chad. She has told me some funny stories, like HR is not an easy job, but you really see all of humanity, right?
You see.
Can I ask you that?
You see everything.
She's told me some funny stories.
Everything in mm-hmm. HR. I tell people I work with, you know, when the office doors open, you know, the world is your stage yeah. and you have to perform. Mm-hmm. But when the office doors closed, it's like the real deal happens, right? The real things can be talked about. But no, working in HR, it's been wonderful. I think I've been doing it now, I think 21 years.
Is that still your day job?
I still work in HR. Yes, ma'am. Mm-hmm. Been doing it for quite a while. So I've worked in telecom in Dallas and moved back and worked in the oil and gas industry. And now I'm in a kind of a manufacturing, uh-huh. Minerals and manufacturing. So with that said, there's not much I have not seen mm-hmm. or I've not heard, and there's not many types of investigations I have not done. And it'll just amaze you at what grown adults will do.
Yeah, or not do.
Or not do.
Yeah, like they aren't really who they say they are, you know, as far as 100%, their skill set. Yeah.
100%.
Yeah, we'll talk after the podcast about, I'm going to see if you can top a story I have. So
I probably can. I have a good one from the oil field.
So you have a day job.
I do.
And then you were motivated to start Animal Finder. And I know you said you didn't, you know, develop the app, but you knew what you wanted and you had someone help you with this. Can you talk about what inspired you to set up Animal Finder to help people find the right either pets or, you know, racehorses? What happened to get this company going?
So long story short, you know, growing up on the farm, I had a couple of horses, wasn't really good at riding, but had them, loved them, had a passion for it. Always had, you know, dogs and farm animals and that type of thing. When I moved back to Lafayette in 2010, along the way, I came across a horse trainer that was from the Oklahoma area. And through conversation and, you know, building a friendship with this horse trainer, they kind of convinced me to buy a horse and let's train it and we'll get you a show horse. And I was like, well, I don't ride, you know, at that mm-hmm. level, but I love horses and I like to be involved, right? So with that said, I bought a horse and I sent the horse to training. And then after that, I was kind of bit by the bug, right? Mm-hmm. So got the horse, sent it to training. The horse turned out to be pretty good, actually really, really good, really nice. And then throughout, you know, going to shows in South Louisiana and then from there going to shows in across Louisiana mm-hmm. and then, you know, jumping in the vehicle with other people who went further. I was sitting in the stands one day. Let me back up a bit. You typically leave on a Friday. if you're going a little far, pack up, leave on Friday, come back Sunday, right? So you're going to these shows the whole weekend, whether you're going with your family or friends or what have you. But while you're at these shows, the reality is you're only competing for a couple of minutes. Mm-hmm. You know, there's preparation time, so on and so forth, but the competition only lasts a short period of time. So while you're at these shows, what do? You sit in the stands, right? So at this particular show, it was actually in New Iberia, right up the road, or down the road rather. And I was sitting in the stand one weekend, and my horse was about to go in there, and I was looking to my left and looking to my right, and I was like, what is everybody doing? And everyone's heads were down. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I started thinking like, well, obviously they're playing on their phones and they're playing on their pads. And I got up and kind of walked across the venue on the top set of bleachers. And I looked down and I seen everybody was like scrolling through their phones or their pads, looking at animals. And at that point, the light bulb went off and I was like, they're actually looking for like their winner. Mm-hmm. I was like, they come to the show to do what? To win. They come to the show to ride. They come to the show to win. The reality is there's only one winner at every show, right? You can place in different brackets or divisions, but there's only one winner. Mm-hmm. So I thought at that point, you know, how can I connect these people who want to buy to the people who want to sell? And that's when this thought of this app came about, building an app that people could post mm-hmm. in real time, so to speak, their animals that they want to sell, and the mm-hmm. buyers could look at the animals that right. are available.
How were people, Chad, finding these animals? Were they just Googling like Tennessee, or were they Googling states, or how can you find animals?
I can speak like for horses, for instance. There's certain websites you can go to where you can look for certain types of horses, mm-hmm. not necessarily breeds, but disciplines like barrel racing, cutting horses, Western pleasure horses, so on and so forth, race horses. There's different sites for different types of, I guess you could say competitions mm-hmm. or what have you, sports. But I wanted something that wasn't necessarily sport or competitive based. I wanted kind of like a one-stop shop where all horses would be mm-hmm. for sale, or all dogs, all cats, all cows, sheep, goats, birds, what have you, mm-hmm. exotic animals, so on and so forth. So with that said, when I started kind of daydreaming, I guess you could say, about how I was going to build the app and what the functionality would be, kind of another light bulb went off, and I was like, well, if I build this app to where I'm sitting in the stands in a particular town / zip code, what happens at that point? Well, the doors and the opportunities are closed. You can only go so far and see the same animals for sale over and over and over.
Online. Yeah. Right.
But if I built this app and I got in the truck and loaded mm-hmm. up on a Friday and drove 30 miles down the road, 300 miles down the road, 3,000 miles down the road, mm-hmm. I wanted something that would have a GPS technology that would reload new opportunities / other animals for sale outside of my normal territory where I lived or resided.
So you could check them out yourself.
Like you could check them out yourself while you're on the road. And maybe find something you liked and be near them mm-hmm. and maybe make the connection while you're, you know, nearest them or closest mm-hmm. to them. So thinking through that process, I got real far-fetched about it. And I went, okay, so I'm in Louisiana. What happens to the people who are traveling, let's say something, you know, really far-fetched, to the NFR?
And that is defined
in Las Vegas.
Okay. That's so the National
Finals Rodeo.
All right.
So if you traveled over there along the way and you were on the app, new opportunities would load in your route over there to and from. And then you're sitting in a venue in New Iberia where there might be a couple of hundred people. Or you're sitting in a venue like the NFR where there's thousands of people. Mm-hmm. The opportunities just get bigger and bigger, and the doors around you just open up. And I'm not going to say the possibilities are endless, but there's, I don't know how to say it.
It's just a bigger market. I mean, it's like when you travel, you go to big towns, there's more stuff.
Right.
And so like at that venue, there's got to be just tons of opportunities.
Tons of opportunities, yeah. And they're right in your fingertips.
Right.
And then
right.
if you're lucky enough, you can, inside the app as well, there's instant messaging internal. Mm-hmm. So if you see an animal that you like, you can just hit message that person. And if they're at the venue, whether they're in the venue, outside of the venue, what have mm-hmm. you, you can connect with them and maybe meet up and maybe see the animal if it's there.
Okay.
So it's just a way to truly connect the buyers and the sellers in real time on the go.
So this was in your head.
Correct.
And so what is it like having someone, I know you didn't develop it yourself, but it was your idea. It's your idea. How do you go from wishing to reality?
Well,
how do you get this done? Like, you know,
well, number one, I hate to say this, but you have to have the funding for it.
Oh yeah. That's always an issue.
It's a huge project to take on. So I'll tell you a little short snippet of a story. So when I originally thought of the process or the app and the idea, I kind of laid out the footprint and the flow of how I thought it should work. And that was on a yellow legal pad. Mm-hmm. I just jotted down page after page of the features and how I thought it would work. Then I came across a guy, no names to mention, but here in Lafayette, who was an app developer. He did coding, all this stuff. Story short, got with him. He gave me the price, and we signed the contract. The lawyers drew it up, so on and so forth. My best friend is from Eunice, Louisiana, and he wanted to invest. So we, you know, did deal on paper. He invested, and here we go. We start rolling, building the app with. He was a silent partner, but I started getting the app built with the guy. So we worked on it for about a year.
Oh, wow.
And I kept seeing, you know, imaging and coding and all these things, like the app was moving around. After about a year, it started clicking in my head that this just didn't feel right.
Like a merry-go-round, huh?
And you have to think, too, when someone's building technology for you, you can't put it in your hand. You mm-hmm. can't hold it. You can't really see it. You can't take it with you. You almost have to just take their word that this coding and all this IT mm-hmm. stuff behind the curtain is happening.
But they can show you.
They can
demos,
show you.
Yeah.
But if they're showing you fake stuff, how do you
oh
know
my gosh,
it's
is
fake?
Is that what happened?
That's exactly what
oh
happened.
Oh, my gosh.
So this guy
oh no.
took
your money and your friend's money.
X amount
yeah.
of money, a lot of money, and I guess for the sake of this conversation, hit the road.
Yeah.
So when the
darn
the legal debacle was over, we paused, and I guess about a year went by, and I said, you know what? I'm not done with this. I want this app, and I'm going to do it again. Mm-hmm. So called up my buddy, and I said, hey, we want to do this again. He's like, no, I'm good.
No,
I said, well, I'll do it by myself. Mm-hmm. So here we go again. I kind of shopped around and I found a wonderful company here in Lafayette called Accolades Downtown. Called them up out the blue, scheduled a meeting with them and went meet them. And it's a wonderful team. It's
good.
A privately owned company here in Lafayette. And I gave them the footprint. And, you know, we got all the legal stuff out mm-hmm. the way. And then we hit the ground running. It took about probably 2 years, maybe a bit under, but nearly 2 years for them to build it.
So you were doing this during COVID, like this was all, because we're here early 2024.
Correct.
And I know you're up and running now, but you've been doing this a while.
Yes, ma'am. It took a while. And the reason why it takes a while is, you know, when you build an app, there's a lot of platforms out there, and I'm not an IT person, right? So I don't want to speak mm-hmm. incorrectly, but there's a lot of plug-and-play technology. So if you buy an app or you want to develop an app, you can buy these or lease these different types of softwares and plug-and-play kind of in a sense. Mm-hmm. But the problem with that is you run into where there could be failures on other people's part with technologies. And so I wanted to own the whole thing. And I wanted all the technology in it to be my technology. So that's what took 2 years. They built all the features in the app and all the mm-hmm. technology. So
you've got the app. And I guess my next question is, and I'm going to, you didn't want to say anything, but Josh Richard is here with us from Burning Stick Creative. You can have the best app in the world, but you have to have users.
You do.
To take advantage of it for it to have value.
You do.
So now you're in the launching, like getting people around the country to know about you.
We are. So the app was slated to be finished, I think, somewhere around October of 2023. Mm-hmm. And I want to say we launched the app live on the web or on the platform with Apple and Google. Josh, correct me if I'm wrong. I think we were in October. No, we were in November of 2023 whenever we went live in the two stores.
So really, it's new.
It's brand new.
And I saw you updated February 2024. I'm sure there's things you're doing as you go that update the app. So
it is. It's a lot of tweaking and getting things.
Users' feedback.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct.
Yeah.
So yes, we're up and running. And the app has taken a small turn. So whenever I dreamed of the app, right, it was about horses. So it was buyers and sellers, horses, horse show, right? Then I was like, well, we'll make it for horses and cattle because that's kind of what I knew. And then here we are today.
It's for cockatiels.
It's for horses and cattle and cats and dogs and birds and sheep and goats and pigs and exotic animals. Mm-hmm. And what's on the platform right now is majority, hands down, is cats and dogs.
Really?
It's cats and dogs, believe it or not. That's where the app is gravitated to right from day one with the launch. Mm-hmm. So my dream, my goal is nothing against the cats and dogs. I love dogs and I love cats and I have them, right?
The racehorses were really what you were thinking of.
I would really love to see the app fill up with horses and cattle and more of the ag side of things with the show animals.
Right. So talk about the app. And I looked online today on my phone. You don't do this on your computer, just on the website you have. You do have to have the app, either under Apple or Google Play. And I know that's because of the GPS, like when people are traveling, they can use it. So how does it work? How do you sign up subscribers? And what is your hope for this?
So it's super easy to sign up. The easiest way to sign up is you can do www.animalfinder.com. Mm-hmm. And Finder is not E-R, it's just an R. So it's F-I-N-D-R, animalfinder.com. And that'll bring you to the two icons to either click on the Apple Play Store or the Google Play Store, and it'll bring you straight to the app. Or you can just go into your phone, into your store directly and find it and download it.
Mm-hmm. So where are you now? Like, this is new. So how do you do this? I guess I don't know if Josh wants to speak at all, but how do you get your name out there? We're helping, I hope, with this, because I love homegrown businesses that are meeting a niche market, which is what you're doing.
Right.
So but you're here working every day and then trying to build this side gig.
So I have three jobs going right now. So we have our flower shop in Crowley, Louisiana. That's going to be 10 years old this September.
What's the name of that?
Plush Petals Flower Shop.
Are you a florist?
I'm not a florist.
You're not an app developer.
I'm not an app developer. My sister's been a florist her entire life, and she's the face of the store. She runs the store. She sees about it, and I do the not-so-fun work behind the scenes, the book work and the buying and all that stuff we don't need to talk about. So she does the fun stuff. And then I work my HR gig, 20-something years, like I spoke of earlier, and travel here, travel there, and keep the plants running. Mm-hmm. And then here we are with the app, right? So the app's taught me a lot throughout the process. And I know Josh didn't want to speak, but he's sitting right here on the side of me.
Poor Josh.
He's the owner of Burning Stick here in Lafayette. So Josh has been teaching me a little bit about how to market, right? So I knew we had good old Facebook. And, you know, we have Instagram and we have TikTok. And but what I didn't know about, I knew it existed, but I didn't really know too much about it, was this whole Google push thing behind the scenes. And I know Josh is probably rolling his eyes because I'm speaking incorrectly. But Google's like the big powerhouse on the web, right? So we have to find the audiences and put the app where the app needs to be placed in front of the potential users out there on their phones or on their computers.
So if they're just Googling horse,
they're Googling
Crowley, Louisiana,
horse stuff, cattle stuff, ag stuff.
Yeah.
They're searching on their phones for X, Y, and Z. Everything happens through keywords and algorithms and all that stuff. So the app has to be strategically placed for my audience. And mm-hmm. Josh has been kind of steering that ship for me at his company, Burn and Stick. Mm-hmm. So
wow. So I'm thinking about all the opportunities for you. And the podcast is a great place. Also, local news stations. Are you being aggressive to promote yourself? You know, like going on radio stations and TV?
Being aggressive, the answer to that would be no, uh-huh. not just yet. And there's a reason for that. I wanted to make sure the app's brand new, right? Just launched, and I'll be 100% honest, you know, at the very beginning, there were some bugs in it. There's bugs in anything that has mm-hmm. that much, you know, coding and what have you in it. So I wanted to make sure the app was rock solid and fully functioning in all capacities and platforms on both Android and on Apple before I did the hard push. Mm-hmm. So we're there now. We have hundreds of users right now on the app, buyers and sellers. Mm-hmm. It's quite flooded right now with the dogs. And
like Chocolate Labs?
Chocolate Labs.
That's what I want. We haven't had a Chocolate Lab in
lots
years.
Lots of cats, no? Lots of dogs. There's a couple of birds on there, and uh-huh. I've seen some people even put some snakes the other day,
oh.
right? So the app's doing really well. I cannot complain at all. You know, it's been a long road, mm-hmm. but as far as the launch, it's been a short road. Uh-huh. But the launch has been great. It's growing, I think, tremendously. You know, Josh keeps up with the numbers a lot closer than I do. But last time we checked it, I want to say from December to January, and then from January to February, I think each one of those month crossovers, mm-hmm. our growth rate was in the 30-something percent.
That's great. Yeah. So how are you compensated? Do the buyers pay a premium, or do the sellers of the breeds pay a fee? Like, how does this all intersect, and how do people pay each other? Like, if you can talk about how it works internally.
So I did not want to get involved with the actual exchange of the purchase, mm-hmm. or the money from the purchases. So that has nothing to do with the app. You know, my goal is to connect the buyer and the seller. Hopefully they message each other in the app. They connect on their own at that point. They sell, mm-hmm. they do their own financial deals, their own contracts or sell agreements themselves. I stay completely out of that. My job as, you know, the app creator is just to connect the buyer mm-hmm. and the seller. Now you asked the question, you know, how do I benefit from that. Mm-hmm. So no money's made off the sales, nothing like that. There's a premium to be on the app, to use the app as a buyer or a seller. So as a buyer or seller, you can get on the app and use the whole app, sell any animal you want, find any animal you want, free of charge. You can use all the functionalities that are needed to sell or to buy for free, unlimited, for however long you want to do that. But if you're selling like a registered animal, mm-hmm. registered horse, registered dog, registered what have you, you're probably going to want to upload a copy of the papers, or at least populate the family tree / the breeding back a couple mm-hmm. of, you know, the mom, the dad, the dam, the sire, what have you, back a couple of years. So to get into the extended breeding tree, or to upload the papers, or to see the papers, or to see all the pictures, mm-hmm. or upload more than one photo, that kind of thing, to get into the nuts and bolts to unlock the full potential of the app, mm-hmm. that's where you would pay a premium price. And you can buy it for a single month. You can do a discounted price to buy 3 months at a time, or you can do a deeper discounted price to buy up to 6 months at a time through the Apple Store or mm-hmm. the Google Store.
So then you have an informed knowledge of what you're getting into.
Right.
I don't think you'd want that, especially if you're buying a large animal.
Right.
Horse,
you know,
or
even
cow.
Like if you're buying a, you know, a $300 or $400 dog, you yeah. probably want to see a copy of the papers. Mm-hmm. I know I would want to. Mm-hmm. Or if you're buying, you know, a $5,000 horse to a $500,000 horse, mm-hmm. you're going to want to see a copy of the papers and the extended tree. And you're probably going to want to see more than one picture of
yeah.
it, you know.
Have you learned a lot about animals the last few years? I mean, did you know all this stuff or have you really had to educate yourself?
I learned a lot, to be honest with you. When I had my own horses, you learn a lot by going to the vet. Because when you own large livestock, the vets become your best friend,
yeah.
whether that's a good thing or a bad thing.
It's an expensive thing.
It's very expensive. Yeah. It costs more to go to the vet than it does for us to go to the doctor.
There's no copay.
Right. There's
unless
no copay.
Unless you have insurance, yeah. So
I learned a lot doing it on my own. Mm-hmm. And then probably the last 3 or 4 years, my really, really good friend, from up near Plocheville, she was into barrel racing. So she called me up one day and she's like, hey, you want to get on the road and go to a couple of barrel races for maybe 2 or 3 years?
Wow.
And I was like, what? And she's like, yeah, I really want to get back into it, but I want you to do it with me. So
Is that what you did when you had horses? You said you didn't.
It was barrel racing.
You did barrel racing?
Yes.
How exciting.
To be clear, I never ran the barrels, okay? But
you made it, though? You didn't fall off the horse, like, you know, barrel racing, you're saying?
Right, but I never did it.
You
never sat
yourself.
On the horse. No,
oh,
ma'am.
Really?
No, that wouldn't have been something to watch.
Oh, I was thinking. I love barrel racing, but I haven't done it either. I like to watch it.
So when I said earlier how I got into it, when I had come in contact with the trainer from Oklahoma, he trained for me and he rode for me.
I got you.
And then after that, I had hired other people to do the same thing. But my friend from Plocheville, she actually rode. She owned her own horses and she rode. And I just jumped in the truck with her on Friday to Sunday.
And
we hit the road throughout the state and bordering states and went to shows. And with her, I learned a lot. She had a pre-vet degree. And she was all about the maintenance on her horses and doing the right thing and the really high-end care for them. So I learned a lot watching her.
You know, my daughter, Kelly, was an equestrian rider. She jumped. And I was always amazed at the different skills needed between barrel racing, like Western riding, and the English. And it's but they're all athletes. And it's tough. I mean, it's a tough sport, but it's beautiful to watch.
It's a tough sport. It's a beautiful sport. And not only does the horse have to be extremely fit and athletic, but the rider does too.
Exactly.
I mean, you have to use so many muscles, like
to stay on, like
your core,
saying.
Your legs, everything. It takes all of the above to win.
Yeah.
And not get hurt.
Right. Well, tell us about the website again. So what is your website?
www.animalfinder.com. And Finder is spelled F-I-N-D-R.
And you're also on Facebook.
We're on Facebook. It's Animal Finder. We're on TikTok. We're on Instagram. We have the website. And you can find us on all the platforms.
Yeah.
And all the platforms have the links that bring you straight to the two different stores for Apple or Google to download the app.
Well, of course, I mentioned earlier, we're here with Jason Sikora, who's scribbling his notes as always. Do you have questions?
I do. First of all, thank you for coming in today. Talk about, I also wanted to say, developing an app and supporting an app is not cheap. As an IT guy, I know it's not easy. Going back in time, any advice you would give yourself or somebody else who has an idea and wants to move forward with something like this?
Absolutely. I think the biggest thing for me is, you know, I consider myself a very smart and intelligent person. Some people might not agree with that, but I'm going to roll with it, right? My advice would be to anyone who wanted to do anything such as create an app or anything IT related, do your homework, pick up the phone, go meet, get some references, some referrals, and some solid referrals. Mm-hmm. Because I did that the first time. I did my background on the first guy that kind of took the money and ran, so to speak. And I thought I did enough. And just because you have a working contract with lawyers and all that stuff, that's not enough. You really need to do your homework and do a deep dive into the people you're going to work with.
Like get references from people they've helped, like other
Yes.
Other businesses.
And then go meet those people that you plan to do business with and say, show me what you've done in the past. Mm-hmm. I want to see what you've done in the past. You know, when I had my first meeting with Accolades, I had put it all out on the table. I was like, look, I've done this before. I've been down this road. And I probably was not the nicest to them in the first meeting because I had my walls up, right?
Yeah, burned.
But they pulled out their portfolio and started showing me the work they've done for other people and started name dropping some of the other businesses in Louisiana, even outside of Louisiana, that they've worked for and some of their projects without, you know, giving away too much information about their clients. And at that point, I knew I was like, okay, this is going to be legit. I've seen enough. I've talked enough. I did enough research. I'm going to go with it.
Mm-hmm. And fees really vary. It's amazing to me what some people will pay for a service, but you don't know what things should cost, right? Like if this is like a new adventure for you, you don't know what you should be paying.
You don't know what you're going to be paying. And I'm glad you said that because through the process of shopping for a new developer, I had talked to a couple here in Louisiana, and then I had talked to a few in California. I even spoke to one or two in New York. And when you have these web meetings with these other developers, these bigger companies, they real quick to want to shoot you a contract because they want to lock you in. They're like, oh yeah, I can do X, Y, and Z. And they get you all pumped up and all this stuff.
We just need like $5,000 down payment. And
they want all this money and you start scratching your head and you're like, yeah, okay, I have the money to do it. But like, it's like, dang, you want a lot of money.
Yeah.
And you start talking to other people and it's like, you're going to do what for what price? Mm-hmm. And this is your portfolio. So when I met with Accolades, I thought that they were very, very fair in their pricing and their portfolio matched exactly what I thought they were able to do and said they could do. And it was you know, nice to know they were right here in the backyard.
Well, you can run over if you got a problem.
Like, right.
Hey, can we meet this week instead of trying to track somebody down in New York?
Yeah. And I do run over and I do call a lot. And to this day, they still answer the phone. So they're not that fed up with me yet.
Uh-huh. I came from a nonprofit background, Chad, in some of my volunteer work. I was running some foundations and I was so low budget. And really, you can be too low budget too. Like people need to make money for what they do. If you want them there 2 years from now,
right?
They need to be able to stay in business. So there's like a balance of what you pay and what you get.
Right.
You know.
And back to your question earlier about, you know, advice. I'm going to go on a financial tangent for a second.
That's okay.
But this keys into what you just said as well about budgets and stuff. I've learned this for someone who has big dreams and wants to do big things on a budget, because everything I do is self-funded. You know, I'm not going to the bank because you can't just go to the bank and say, I want X amount of dollars to build an app. They're going to be like, to do what?
Yeah.
So, you know,
show us the mortgage, like show us your home title, right?
So it's save your money and self-fund, right? Mm-hmm. So with that said, I've learned for me, this is the way I like to do things now, especially learning from being stole from, is I like to pay in the rear. So a lot of companies don't like that because, you know, they need their money now. But paying in the rear and doing your homework is my new strategy, and it's worked thus far.
Mm-hmm. That's great. That makes a lot of sense.
So when you're building the app, you know, like when I worked with Accolades and they knew it happened to me, I said, we'll set up a payment plan, but you're going to develop code, whatever, write X, then you'll get paid. Everything was in the rear. Once I could see something. Mm-hmm. Josh is sitting right here on the side of me. Josh is smiling real big right now, but Josh gets paid 1 month in the rear. And that's why.
Well, it feels more like a partnership at that point as well, right, as opposed to just this contract with this service or you know, whatever.
Right.
So it makes a lot of sense to me. On the app itself, are there any animals that aren't allowed? Because I started thinking exotic animals, you know.
No, to answer your question, everything's allowed. Because when we were on the very end of creating the app / building the app before we went to launch, I was like, wait, hold up. And I said, well, what about all the miscellaneous stuff out there? I said, right now we have the app built for all these animals that you can separate on there through search within the app. I said, what about the miscellaneous things like, I think the example I gave in the meeting was like an iguana or a llama or just different types of animals that don't fit in those buckets we have. So we have the last tab is other. Just simple other. So it's kind of like a place it here and we'll be glad to allow you to upload.
It's just in the U.S.?
It's just in the U.S.
We stayed in Colorado a couple of years back and the woman, it was an Airbnb, but she was getting a baby. I don't remember what kind of horse it was, or maybe a heifer. It was a baby, like a little, you know, mini type of animal.
A miniature
or something. I don't remember if it was a horse or a cow, but I thought it was very exotic. Mm-hmm. And she was talking about how hard it is to find certain animals. So she had to go to Europe to get an animal lifted
in. We're just in the U.S. now, English-based, just because back to self-funding.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I want to stand it up in the U.S. Mm-hmm. I do have additional plans written out in my yellow legal pad for expansions. I probably have, you know, four new avenues I'd like to go down and incorporate into the app, but I really want to stand it up first in the U.S. based on the platform that we currently have created.
Yeah.
That makes sense. So if I want to jump on the app and look around at some of these exotic animals or anything on there, I want a new cat or dog, no cost for me to get on there, sign up and look around?
Zero cost. You can get on forever at zero cost and look, search, buy, sell, use the functionalities to get your animal bought or sold or to purchase for free. You only pay whenever you want to go deeper into things that we talked about earlier, like papers and pictures and what have you. But no, you can use the app. It's fully functional for free.
Looks like I'm getting a new app today.
There you go.
Awesome. So looking at how busy you are, HR, Animal Finder, and Plush Petal Flowers. I have a couple questions after that, but first, Plush Petal Flowers, how do we find more information about that?
So right now, Plush Petals, we just have a Facebook page. We keep it pretty up to date with things that my sister's making, whether it's proms, homecomings, special events, birthdays, what have you, Mother's Day, Valentine's Day, you know, all that stuff. We stay pretty up to date on Facebook. We do have Instagram as well. And we're kind of a bit old school with the flower shop. My sister, if she's going to hear this, she's going to not like me for it, but she doesn't really care for computers.
Oh, all right.
So we still write tickets and all that stuff, but she doesn't know this yet. So if she is listening, she's going to find out. Josh is about to build us a new website, not a new website, a website.
A website,
and you'll be able to order online or order off of your phone or what have you on the go. And then the orders will feed into the store.
She'll have to turn on the computer.
So So Celeste, if you listen, and here we go.
Well, first, she has to find the podcast if she's not a computer person.
Right.
Well, she can do this on her phone.
Exactly. Yeah. So with all of this, I'd imagine you have other ideas for other ventures in the future. Anything that you want to share or you want to kind of keep it to yourself?
You know, I had the same conversation with a friend this morning of what I want to do next. Mm-hmm. As far as starting another business, there is something I want to do. But as far as next steps on my radar, it's growing the app, right?
Okay.
So right now in the app, you cannot upload video. You can only upload images.
Oh, okay.
So there's a reason for that, right?
Yeah.
So storage space on the server.
Mm-hmm.
So for me to allow the customers to upload video right now would just really jam up the server space.
Mm-hmm.
But once the app is fully stood up in the US and we have a very, you know, good sized flow of customers, then I'll be able to roll out uploading videos so people can see movement of the horses or movement of the cattle and that kind of thing. So that's the next step, right?
Yeah.
Then after that, I'd like to build an additional division inside of the app, kind of separate it, but it'd be all underneath one umbrella. And I want to get into buying and selling of like semen and embryos.
Oh.
As kind of like phase two of the app. So I do have, and I could go on and on. Like I said, I have three or That's four really phases
yeah.
that I'd like to do, but mm-hmm. Right now it's stand it up and roll it out. So right now, Josh has done a great job in launching it in the US. We've kept it to Louisiana, Texas, Oklahoma, Arkansas. I think this week, if I remember correctly, we're going into New Mexico and Colorado. And then I think we might tap into Wyoming.
Nice. Okay. Yeah.
So we're slowly going to start feeding it out. Mm-hmm. Like we said earlier, there's a price tag on everything.
But those are your
so
big markets.
I'm trying to saturate pockets at a time mm-hmm. and just grow those pockets outward. And here we go on the next rollout. So yeah. I'm excited about that.
This could be huge.
I'm hoping. I mean, that's the goal, right?
Yeah, yeah.
I've put a lot of thought into this. I've put a lot of money into it. I hate to bring that up again, but it's the truth, yeah. right? Everything's so expensive. A lot of money, a lot of time, a lot of thought. And it's something that I would use.
Yeah.
And it's built, I think this is important too. When I built it from day one, the very first day I walked into Accolades, and I said, when we build this app, I want this app to be very, very user-friendly. When you get on it, I do not want you to have to go meet the person next to you and say, hey, how do you do this? Mm-hmm. I want people to be able to figure it out right away how to use all the features. Because you're going to have people of all ages, young to the elderly, who buy mm-hmm. and sell animals. And I want this to be a fun experience, something that people enjoy and hopefully want to use over and over again. That's not a pain, because stuff in life is a pain that we have to deal with every day. And I don't want the app to be a pain. I want it to be very easy and nothing that you have to figure out. I want you just to get on it and know how to do it.
Yeah.
Very common sense driven.
Yeah. Last question. Assuming you have free time, if you do, what do you like to do in your free time?
asking too much,
so,
Jason.
Maybe there is no free time.
People who know me and know me well know that I do not have free time.
Okay.
I don't want to go too involved with my HR job or the company, but I stay on the road a lot with them. I'm starting to stay gone a lot throughout the week. So it's HR, it's flower shop, it's talking to Josh every other day on the phone about what we're doing or what I owe him or what's on my homework list for Josh. Cause you know, it's write it on a post-it so I don't forget and shove it in the bag, right? With everything else. I did something two Saturdays ago that I cannot tell you the last time I did it. And I laid on my sofa in the dark, didn't even open the curtains.
You crashed.
Didn't turn the TV on. Mm-hmm. And I just laid there and did nothing, literally almost all day.
How nice.
Wow.
And I think that was my body telling me like, okay,
yeah.
You need some of this, mm-hmm. just downtime.
It sounds
we
like
all
you
do.
Need,
yeah.
But I stay going. But it's good. I wouldn't have it any other way. And again, people who know me know that they would say, well, you wouldn't have it any other way.
Yeah.
That makes sense. Well, man, thanks for coming in today. I know it's rainy outside and you're in this dark building, but man, I'm so glad you guys came out. And Josh, even though I don't have a microphone turned on for you, thanks for coming down.
Yeah.
Well, thank y'all so much for having me. I know Josh set this up for me, but it was great meeting y'all and
thank you.
A great experience.
Yeah, thank you. Awesome. Chad Landreneau, creator and owner of the app Animal Finder, FINDR. Again, go to Apple App Store and Google Play. Best wishes to you. I think part of these stories that I love, Chad, is that people like you that are building businesses, you know, it's not easy. And if you don't have determination, it's not going to happen. So you really exemplify our community.
Thank you so much.
Entrepreneurs.
Yeah. I do appreciate that.
I appreciate you because a lot of us, it's just easy to give up if you don't have either the dollars in your pocket or the time, like you're saying. So thank you for doing this. And I look forward to hearing about great success. I want to thank our sponsors who make this podcast possible. Again, we mentioned Raider, Ochsner, Lafayette General, and ViMed. And the other people who make this podcast possible are you, the listener. Thank you so much for tuning into this. If you haven't subscribed yet, you can go anywhere you get your podcast and get Discover Lafayette, or you can visit discoverlafayette.net and find Chad Landerneau's interview along with several hundred others at this point. Chad, we've been doing this since 2017 weekly, and it's just been a real labor of love. Thank you for listening today. On behalf of Discover Lafayette, this is Jan Swift.